On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
I was with somebody the other day, and I said, "I'm preaching at my last service on Sunday," and they went, "Oh, they've not made you do that, have they?" And I said, "No, I'm definitely getting the last word on my 10 and a half years here." So, just to let you know, if you've got very young children with you, we do have a creche room available. It's on the right-hand side. You can access it through the doors that are halfway back on the right, and the service is relayed through there so you can hear what's going on. So if at any point any little ones are like, "Is she not going to wind this up soon?" feel free to make use of the space. And it's wonderful to see so many faces here this morning that have meant so much over the past 10 years. And I had a moment at the start when I suddenly realised that some of the guests for Lawrence's baptism were in the youth group that I ran 20 years ago. And let's just say I hadn't done the emotional preparation for that. Everything else, I was like, I am emotionally prepared. I will not blub. I will blub. But I just thought, gosh, how amazing that it's like a very circular, it all comes back. Anyway, let's pray, and then we're going to talk about God. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak your words of life and truth to us in this moment. Amen. As I'm sure you all know, not least because you may have battled with traffic this morning, today is the London Marathon, and I have always loved the London Marathon. The moment I hear the opening bars of the London Marathon theme, I can feel the tears start to well up. Please tell me I'm not alone. Please tell me others feel the same. Thank you, Tess. There was one person that was like, "Yes, I have your back here." And I think it's because it's not just a sporting event. The marathon is more like a life event. Because there'll be people at the start line this morning who are running because they personally have recovered from serious illness. There are people there running to remember loved ones who've died. There are people running for charities to raise funds about issues that matter to them. There are people who are running against all the odds. People are running for their mental health and well-being. And I imagine that as they lined up this morning waiting to set off, they felt a whole range of things: excited, nervous, grateful, maybe tearful, hopefully motivated. And if the start of the race doesn't make you cry, then the end surely will. All those shots of people crossing the finish line, some with their arms raised in victory, others who barely make it across the line before collapsing with exhaustion or maybe injury. There are those who finish the race holding hands or helping someone else, even if it means their time is slower. And those who come last, but they've achieved a personal best. And again, all of those feelings, pride, relief, for some there's disappointment, exhaustion, elation. Beginnings and endings stir up a lot of feelings for us, don't they? I know that over the past week, I've experienced all of those feelings, sometimes all at the same time, and cycling through them on an hourly basis. And I wonder how you are feeling today. I wonder what beginnings and endings you're aware of in your own life. Brilliantly, this morning's gospel reading, which is the one that's set for today, is all about beginnings and endings. The reading starts on the evening of Easter Day, and according to John's account earlier that day, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid. She found that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. She then ran and found Peter and one of the other disciples. They went back to the tomb and saw that it was empty. And then we're told that the risen Jesus appeared to Mary. And in that joy of seeing the Saviour that she loved, he then said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I'll be ascending to the Father." And then she went and shared the news with the disciples. We join the events as they are all in a locked room. And just imagine the emotions in that room. Was Jesus dead or alive? Was Jesus coming back to them, or was he leaving them? Who or what should they believe? And what did the future hold now? John tells us that the door was locked because of fear. But as well as fear, there must have been exhaustion, confusion, distress, anger, hope, relief, and joy. And into the midst of all of that comes Jesus. And what does he say to his friends? He says, "Peace. Peace be with you." As I prepare to let go of almost everything in life that feels familiar, the only thing that's not changing is my family, unless there's some news they haven't told me, of course. Everything's about to change, and so peace is the word that we need to hear right now. And maybe you need to hear it too. Peace. 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 And after he says something, he does something. And this for me is the most striking part of the whole reading. He breathes on them. And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But I was so struck with that image of breathing on someone because it's not really a common experience. It's a very intimate image. And I found that as I read the story, the things that came to mind were remembering holding tiny babies and smelling their milky breath as you hold them close to your face, kissing someone where two faces are close together, and as you hold and embrace, you share breath and breathe on one another. But I also found myself thinking of a different kind of embrace, of the kiss of life, when one person breathes air into another in order to resuscitate them. When Jesus breathed on his disciples, I wonder how they felt and what they thought. Right at the start of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, it says this: "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Here's another verse from Job. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Another from Ezekiel. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And another from the Psalms. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host, by the breath of his mouth. Why does Jesus breathe on his disciples? Because this is an act of creation or recreation. This moment is the gift of new life and a new beginning for them. And that new beginning comes from the one who carries the marks of death on his body visibly. Today is an ending for me, for us, for this season in the life of the church. But I also believe it's a beginning, and that this next step is an invitation into new life. Because vicars come and vicars go, but true life comes from God, which is why the risen Jesus, who is preparing to leave them, breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, all the time, all around us, God is breathing his life into people. He is inviting them to be made new. He is bringing faith to life, and he is giving them a new start. And one of the great privileges of being a vicar is that you get to witness and hear those stories firsthand. And as I look around the room today, I know that many of you here have experienced the gift of new life from God and have been offered hope and healing, freedom, forgiveness, friendship, and purpose. And it is so fitting that in today's service we've had two baptisms, Lawrence and Eliza, who are beginning their journeys of faith today. I don't come from a Christian home, but my own journey of faith began at the age of 5 when I asked to be baptized. Watch out, I always say, look where it may lead. But how perfect that as I am ending here, they are beginning. If you've ever watched the marathon and watched people cross the finish line, or if you've ever run a marathon yourself, then you'll know just how hard they can be. It's not uncommon to see runners collapse at the finish line, gasping for breath, because the race has been so hard, physically and mentally. As a vicar, you don't just witness the good bits of human life, you witness the tough bits too, the human suffering. And I know that many of you here this morning have suffered, because I have shared parts of that journey with you. And I know the toll it takes on people, physically, mentally, and spiritually. That is why I do not blame Thomas the disciple for doubting that Jesus was really there. Thank God for Thomas, who keeps it real. For those of you here this morning who feel worn out by the race of life, worn out by the things you have lived through and are living with, I believe that Jesus also wants to breathe his new life into you this morning. For some of you, I know that the idea of that will fill you with all sorts of feelings, fear, suspicion, disbelief, desire, confusion, maybe hope. When life has been hard, it is okay to feel a whole jumble of things when we come into church buildings. If you are here today and you're longing for new life and longing for a new start for whatever reason, then I pray that you would have the experience that the disciples had in the locked room. I pray that you would feel the presence of Jesus as if he'd appeared right beside you in this room. I pray that you would know the peace of Jesus amidst all of the emotions that you are carrying. And I pray that you would know the power of the Holy Spirit, who transforms endings into beginnings. As I cross my finish line in this parish, still running, haven't fallen over yet, I do so with immense gratitude. I have loved running alongside you. Amen.